Our first reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, reading verses 10 to 15. Let us hear the word of God. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." Our second reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 80, reading verses 1 to 7 and 17 to 19. This reading is responsive, and so I invite you to join me when the screens indicate all. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim,
shine forth for Aaron and Benjamin and Manasseh.
Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us scorn our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved.
But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, let your face shine that we may be saved.
Our third reading comes from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 3 to 7. "So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God."
Right now, I am very alone. At first, I felt a little skeptical, like Sarah when the angel told Abraham she would have a baby, wondered what on earth was going on. A girl 13 should answer back to an angel? I had to admit, I was a bit proud of having been chosen by God for such a special task, for all of maybe 5 minutes. "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen to me just as you say." Then I told my mother, "I have seen an angel. He had a message for me." Mother was more concerned with preparing dinner for the men. "Mary," she said, "bring me some oil, bring the flour." She was too busy then to hear about an angel's message. She did stop to listen when I told her about the baby. "Mother, it is not going to be Joseph's baby." And that's when I began to realize that while I might be blessed among women, it was a very mixed blessing. My mother lives in disgrace. My father wants to know who the father is. I'll beat him within an inch of his life, he screams.
And our gospel lesson, taken from the gospel according to Matthew, reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Let us listen for God's word to his people as it is given in the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at the first chapter and the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, he had no marital relations with her until she had been born. The child had been born, and he named him Jesus. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For any couple, the news that they are about to have a child is fraught with emotion. There is joy and excitement as they prepare for a new addition to the family, but there's also anxiety and fear. Will the child be healthy? Will the parents be up to the challenge of parenting? It seems a little silly, perhaps, now, but I remember when each of our children were born, the first thing I did was sort of a rudimentary kind of inventory. I counted fingers and toes. Or I tried to, because amidst all the hustle and bustle of a labor delivery suite, when a child has just been born, it's really hard to count to 10, at least for me as a new father. I wasn't concerned about whether it was a boy or a girl. That would just sort itself out. Only that they were healthy. And for me, 10 digits, 10 fingers, 10 toes, that was the sign. As we begin our Advent journey this year, we are confronted with the anxiety faced by Mary as an expectant mother and Joseph, her betrothed. Mary was a young teen, probably not much more than 13 years old when all of this happened, when she became aware of her pregnancy. And in that patrilineal society in which she lived, the paternity of a child was paramount. After all, the society in which Mary and Joseph and all those that they knew lived believed that in a very real way, the father and the father's family line lived on through the child. So paternity was important. We see that time and again in other places in Scripture, don't we? When we are confronted by the deviation from the expectations that sometimes happens in Scripture, when younger brothers usurp the older brothers. The story of Cain versus Abel. Part of the problem there is Cain is the older, Abel is the younger. Esau and Jacob, the younger brother who steals the birthright. Joseph, the youngest of all of Israel's sons and his brothers. David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, chosen by God over all of his brothers. And into the New Testament. Stories like the story of the prodigal son have this reversal that jars at the rules of society that the younger should get the birthright. In all of these stories, the key point of conflict is this transgression of the law of primogeniture. And here in the story of Mary and Joseph, the crisis is even more fundamental than that. Not just the identity of the father in the larger society, but the knowledge of Joseph that Joseph is not. In verse 19 of the gospel reading, that is identified for us. Matthew records, her husband Joseph being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. It's difficult for us to hear with our 21st century eyes those words that perhaps a young woman with a child out of wedlock should be sent away. But to Joseph, in the time when he lived, such an action was more than just to avoid the public shame and the clucking tongues. It was for the well-ordering of society that these things should happen. But before Joseph could even bring about this plan or think about it very much, Matthew tells us an angel intervenes and reveals to Matthew God's divine plan. Something bigger is going on in this story. Bigger than Joseph's pride or even the expectations of Joseph's ancient society. God is engaged in the task of working out the redemption of the world. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And throughout each week in Advent, we will hear from Mary as she moves from anxiety to relinquishment, to joy, and even reflection for the wonder that God has done. Each week we will have a Mary appear before us and share her tale. And we thank Libby for being the first of the Marys this morning. But we will hear how God in Christ has broken into human history and undone all of the structures of power and propriety, the social norms, and even the faith expectations of the people of God, so that a Messiah who is different might be born. The people of God, you will recall, expected a Messiah who would come to be a great king and a great general. But this Messiah who comes is the one who reveals God's love to us in this simple family of a carpenter and his young wife, in acts of obedience and ultimately a child born in a manger. And the outcome of this great divine plan is no less surprising. As Paul writes to the church in his letter to the Galatians that we heard this morning, that the law was given because we, like wayward children, little better than slaves, could not live righteous lives. So the law is given as a fence, something that will hem us in behind and before and set limits to our lives. And yet, any farmer would know fences are transgressible. Earlier this week, there was a picture from Kitchener of a pig laying in the middle of Highway 8. Agricultural animals making a break for it. Fences are transgressible. They can't always hold us in the way we wish that they would. The law by itself does not, cannot make us righteous and worthy of our inheritance of faith to eternal life. It only serves to be for us that enclosure that tells us when we are getting close to the boundary line. So God sends Jesus Christ, fully divine and yet fully human, born into this human family, to reveal to us the love of God, that we might be adopted into God's family and made heirs to the eternal life that God has in store for all of us, if we would but believe and put our trust in Christ and in Him alone. May God's Spirit, then, dwell within us and hold us close to Christ. May we be given minds to comprehend the great mystery of our faith, and may we acknowledge with all of our hearts that we have been knit into the household of God and formed together as Christ's church, where we are united, one in body, one in spirit, with God and with each other. As Paul says to the Galatians, may we cry out, Abba, Father, and rejoice that we have become the heirs of the kingdom of God, and know that the promises are ours because Christ has come and we have been redeemed. Thanks be to God. Amen.